In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
Together before the Lord.
For he comes to judge the earth.
He will judge the world with righteousness.
And the peoples with equity.
Amen.
with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. O Lord, graciously hear the prayers of your people, that we, who justly suffer the consequence of our sin, may be mercifully delivered by your goodness to the glory of your name, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday after the Epiphany is from the fifth book of Moses, called Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Blessed are those whose way is blameless,
who walk in the law.
Blessed are those who keep his testimonies,
who seek him with their whole hearts,
who also do no wrong,
but walk in his ways.
You have commanded your precepts
to be kept diligently.
Oh, that my ways may be steadfast
in keeping your statutes.
Then I shall not be put to shame. I will praise you with an upright heart.
When I learn your just and righteous decrees,
I will keep your statutes.
Do not utterly forsake me.
Glory
be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Blessed are those whose way is blameless,
who walk in the law of the Lord.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, the third chapter. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God
who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment, and whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard and you be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn.' But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us stands.
And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come.
Spirit, and
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll reread a portion of the gospel reading. Jesus said, "You've heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. You've heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. It was said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but you shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn.' But I say to you, don't take any oath at all." This is our text. So, I've got to admit right off the bat that I find this part of the Sermon on the Mount very hard. It isn't hard to understand, and it isn't hard to believe. In that way, it is really simple and straightforward. It's also very real and very practical, but it's impossibly hard to do. How hard is it to keep a lid on our anger in every moment? How hard is it to purge out lust from hand, eye, and heart? How hard is it to hold marriage in honor every single day? And how hard is it to keep one's word in everything? And even if I could still live perfectly from this day until the day I die, past failures still loom large. I can't undo what's already been done. There's a whole lot of water under my bridge, and I would guess there's a whole lot of water under your bridge as well. That's not an excuse. It's a confession. And to be honest, I also find this passage very hard to preach. Every 3 years, which is the cycle of readings that we're on, we read this passage during the Epiphany season. 1 year, a member reached out to me afterwards. He said to me that he and others had found my sermon heavy, even crushing. They hadn't heard much grace. The law had predominated. I'd managed to preach the text. I'd managed to preach what Jesus says here in its full sternness. But I hadn't done very well at preaching Jesus and his full sweetness. And that weighed on me. Lord, have mercy. One thing to remember is this. As strong as Jesus' words are, and we'll get into that, Jesus will never crush a bruised reed. And he will never snuff out a faintly burning wick. On the flip side, however, he also never goes easy on sin or on the sinful nature. He's got no tolerance for them. He refuses to leave us coiled in on ourselves, snake-like and content. His words about anger, lust, divorce, and oath-taking hit my sinful nature like a 2x4. Ouch, that hurts. Well, what do you expect? Discipline feels painful for the moment, and the old Adam will only go kicking and screaming to his daily execution. So ask yourself as you hear this law, have I taken God's law to heart in its full seriousness? Or have I grown lazy and complacent? Have I lived as if God matters most, or as if I matter most? Have I let his word really have its way with me, or have I kept his word at a safe distance? Has my love for him and for others burned hot, or has it grown cold? Do I actually fear his wrath and punishment. I know how it is with God's law. Sometimes we hear what God says, what he says to do or not to do. We take a quick glance at it. Don't look at it too long. Don't look at it too closely. And we may look all right. We might see a few spots that need cleaning up here and there, but it's not that bad. How often have you heard someone say, "But I'm a good person"? Perhaps you've said it yourself. And I don't doubt that on one level that may be absolutely true. But by whose standard? Good because you haven't outright committed adultery or murder? What about all those times when we've been looking in God's word for a loophole in what he says, for an exception, for a way to wiggle off the hook? Or how about those times we've tried to see just how close we can get to the line without crossing it? But my case is different. Is it? Are you really ready to plead that in front of Jesus? You've heard that it was said of old, by the Lord God of Israel, no less, "You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment." You've heard that it was said, "You shall not commit adultery." It was also said, "Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce." Again, you've heard that it was said by those of old, "You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you've sworn." And if you've never heard those things, or if you haven't heard them recently, then take and read Exodus chapter 20, Deuteronomy chapter 5, or all five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Lent would be a great time to read through those books. Now, Jesus takes the law as given in the Old Testament, and he takes it deeper. He speaks as not as one who has received the law, not as one who is simply commenting on the law, but he speaks as the one who makes the law, as the author and framer of the law. You want original intent? He knows it. He knows the Ten Commandments inside and out. He's the one who wrote them on the tablets and gave them to Moses on Mount Sinai. He understands not only the letter of the law, but also its spirit. So he has every right to interpret that law, to apply that law to our lives. And that's what he does. He speaks with authority, with divine authority, as God, saying, "It was said, but now I myself say to you." I'll tell you what it means. I'll get to the heart of the matter. I'll explain the law in a spiritual sense. The law that I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill with a righteousness greater than that of the scribes and the Pharisees. So here goes. At the heart of murder dwells anger. All you have to do is turn back to Cain and Abel to see it. Sin was knocking at Cain's door, and Cain opened his heart to it, threw the doors wide open and invited it in. He stoked his anger until it finally boiled over in rage and then in murder. Jesus is describing for us how anger leads to violence and insults, to assaults and wounds. Not only in action, but also in thought and in word, we can murder one in that way as well. Words spoken, words shouted, words texted, words posted, words written. All of them can start a huge fire. And we see this happen all the time. Now, I do want to be clear, when it comes to anger, there is also such a thing as righteous anger. Jesus showed this kind of anger when he drove the money changers and businessmen out of the temple. Anger without sin. And the difference is this: if we were to look into his heart as opposed to the heart of Cain, what would we find? In the heart of our Lord, when he was turning over those tables, there was not hatred, there was not enmity, there was zeal for the Lord, and zeal for his word, and zeal for the sheep of his pasture. You see, his anger was there to serve his neighbors and their welfare. The only one who was threatened by it were those who were doing harm by false teaching and by ungodly actions. But here in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is rebuking unrighteous anger, and he is pushing us toward reconciliation. More important than the gifts that you bring before the Lord's altar are the brothers and sisters whom he created and for whom Christ died. So here's one takeaway today. If you've wronged anyone, or if you know of someone who has something against you, seek them out. Repair that relationship. Ask for forgiveness. And forgive one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. At the heart of adultery dwells lust. The heart's sinful desire for the man or the woman who isn't yours, for the one whom God hasn't given you. And this is how sin works. It's worth noting the steps and the stages. Sin works like this. First comes the suggestion, the idea. Then we grab hold of the idea and we take pleasure in the thought of it. And then finally we give way to it. Just to be frank, our eyes linger, they undress, they imagine. And of course, the world doesn't help. The world says things like, it's okay to look, just don't touch. Certainly not. The world even puts porn right into our pockets. How wicked and evil and dangerous is that for us? So, Christian, flee these things. Don't look, and don't even think about it. And when the world invites you to look, respond by saying instead, I fix my eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith, and then go find a crucifix to stare at. Amen. And then there's divorce, which was never part of God's design or intention for marriage. He created marriage as a lifelong union of a man and a woman. When the marriage bed has been defiled by adultery, yes, in the Old Testament, a certificate of divorce was permitted, but what we have in our day is something very different. No-fault divorce, no reason, or any reason at all. Jesus doesn't recognize this. Marriage can be hard, yes, but stick it out. Seek counsel, work through challenges, forgive, and be forgiven. And then last is the matter of oaths and promises. As my colleague in Fort Wayne said once when he was preaching on this, phew, at least we don't have to worry about that a whole lot, right? What responsibility do we have toward God and others with our words? Jesus teaches us not to take oaths, but simply to let our yes be yes and our no be no, which sounds really simple, but how often do we seek to do something else? The point is not that promises are wrong. The point is that our words should be so trustworthy that an oath isn't even necessary. And of course, we are never to make a promise in support of evil. We are never to make a promise about a falsehood. And we are never to make a promise when there's no need or no use. But instead, let your promises be made for the support of what's good and for the advantage of your neighbor. Making a promise, a marriage vow, is good for the sake of your spouse. Making a promise, as some of our new members will do today, about their faithfulness to God and their intention to live in his church and in communion with him, it is good and it encourages the rest of us who are members of the church. Making a promise in a court of law or taking an oath of office is good, but not over things that are light or trivial or false or sinful. So here are the words of Jesus. Let's take them to heart. Let these words serve as a curb against outright sin, stopping us before we do it. Let these words of Jesus serve as a club and use them against your sinful nature, especially in view of the judgment that is coming. Let these words serve as a guide for you as a Christian, directing you in how you should live, in the way that you should run. But most of all, see in these words of Jesus how great your sin is and how much you need him. The better we know our sin, the more we need our Savior and his righteousness. Jesus does not tell us these things so that we would wallow in grief or have pity for ourselves or so that we would feel miserable. He tells us these things so that we might find life and salvation in him. Do not forget this. Do not forget the one who speaks these words. Remember not only what he says, but remember also what he does. Yes, he is the one who will come to judge the living and the dead, but he will do so as the one who was crucified for the sins of the world and raised for your life and salvation. He is the one who embodied in his own life fully and perfectly this law. Righteous anger, yes. Sinful anger, no. Faithfulness to his bride, absolutely. Willing even to lay down his life for her, even when she had strayed and wandered from him. Our Lord, who never uttered a word that was false, never made a promise that he would not keep, which means that every promise he has made, including the ones that you have not yet seen fulfilled, is a yes and amen in him. All God's promises are yes in Christ. And our Lord, who suffered the opposite, our Lord, who endured the anger and the hatred of the world, certainly in thoughts and in words, but then ultimately in deed, when they nailed him to the cross, anger drove in those spikes. Our Lord, who suffered as his bride, his people, abandoned him to follow after other gods. Our Lord, who was put away, the Messiah, who came to his people, and instead they crucified him. Our Lord, when he was put on trial, had false witnesses raising their voices against him and promising under oath that what they said was true. Jesus sat under that judgment. They declared him worthy of death, deserving it. So our Lord knows what it is to have the law nail him to a tree. He knows what it is to have the law put him to death, because he did. Not for himself, but for your sake. In Deuteronomy, Moses put before the people, he said, the Lord said through him, you have a choice, life or death. Our Lord chose death so that he could give you life. And he brings it to you today. I said there's a lot of water under the bridge for us. There are many things we've done that we cannot undo, and that is true. But our Lord has also done something that cannot be undone. He has paid for your sins, every last one of them. For all of the anger, for all of the lust, for all of the wrongful divorces, for every promise made and not kept. Our Lord has paid for it. And that, dear friends, is water under the bridge with him. It is past, and it is done, and it is accomplished. And he hung on the cross, and he said, it is finished, which means your sins are forgiven. And they do not stand between you and God. Our Lord Jesus Christ has borne our sin, and he was raised from the dead with life for us. And he has acquired a life that he gives to you, a life that will never end, and a peace that passes all understanding, and a forgiveness and righteousness that is new every day. Our Lord is not here today to condemn you, but he is here to forgive you, and he is here to empower you to follow after him, day by day, struggle by struggle, putting to death the old sinful nature and using the law that he gives us to do it, and following after our Lord, crucified, risen, alive, and reigning. So, dear friends, even when you hear words like these, there is no reason to be dour or downcast. There is no reason to mope or wallow, but there is every reason to be of good cheer. For your Lord comes with his forgiveness. And as we'll sing in a few minutes, what joy to know when life is past. The Lord we love is first and last, the end and the beginning. He will one day, O glorious grace, transport us to that happy place, beyond all tears and sinning. Amen. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, crown of gladness, we are yearning for the day of your returning. Amen. In his name. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you. The congregation may be seated, and I invite forward Captain Hillman, John, and Terry McGuire, and Karen Stowell. Beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ said to his apostles, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Lift up your hearts, therefore, to the God of all grace, and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. View this day in the presence of God and of this congregation. Acknowledge the gifts that God gave you in your baptism."
Yes, I do.
"Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways?"
Yes, I renounce him.
"Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit?"
Yes, I believe in God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
"Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God, and the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from them and confessed in the small catechism to be faithful and true?"
I do.
"Do you intend to hear the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully?"
I do, by the grace of God.
"Do you intend to live according to the word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God Father, Son, and Holy Spirit even to death?"
I do, by the grace of God.
"Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church, and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it?"
I do, by the grace of God.
"Do you desire to become members of this congregation?"
I do.
"Will you support the work our gracious Lord has given this congregation with your prayers and the gifts God has given you?"
I will, with the help of God.
"We rejoice with thankful hearts that you have been baptized and have received the teaching of the Lord. You have confessed the faith and been absolved of your sins. As you continue to hear the Lord's word and receive his blessed sacrament, he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." I now ask Jared and Jonathan to kneel for confirmation in the Lutheran Church. Karen, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen.
Jonathan, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Upon this, your confession of faith, I acknowledge publicly that you are members of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and of this congregation. Receive the Lord's Supper and participate with us in all the blessings of salvation that our Lord has given to his church, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Congregation, please stand. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your great goodness in bringing Ed, John, and Aaron Kate, and Karen to the knowledge of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and enabling them both with the heart to believe and with the mouth to confess his saving name. Grant that, bringing forth the fruits of faith, they may continue steadfast and victorious to the day when all who have fought the good fight of faith shall receive the crown of righteousness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for all your goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of your dear Son and for the revelation of your will and grace. Implant your word in us, that with good and honest hearts we may keep it and bring forth the fruits of faith. We humbly implore you to rule and govern your church throughout the world. Bless all those who proclaim your truth, that we may be preserved in the pure doctrine of your saving word, and that faith in you may be strengthened, love toward others increased, and your kingdom extended. Send forth laborers into your harvest, and sustain those whom you have sent, that the word of reconciliation may be proclaimed to us and all people, and the gospel be preached in all the world. Lord, in your mercy, grant health and prosperity to all who are in authority, especially to the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor and Legislature of this Commonwealth, and to all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Grant them grace to rule according to your good pleasure, for the maintenance of righteousness and the hindrance and punishment of wickedness, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. Look with mercy on all expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially Laura, Kay, Rachel, and Abby. Provide Mike and Dee with wisdom and patience in the foster care process, and as they have opportunity to open their home to a little one, Lord, in your mercy. By your good pleasure, turn the hearts of our enemies and adversaries, that they may cease their hostilities and walk with us in meekness and peace. Lord, in your mercy. Look mercifully, we implore you, on those who suffer in Turkey and Syria, especially the people of Istanbul Lutheran Church. Do not let sin destroy them or hopelessness overwhelm them, but let your boundless mercy save them. Lord, in your mercy. Comfort, O God, with your Holy Spirit, all who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or any other adversity, especially Jennifer, Barbara, Karen, Hattie, Rick and Teresa, Nancy, Richard Sr., Ed, Linda, Eldon, Thane, Randy, Rosemarie, Nancy, Robert and Ruth, John, Steve, Tiffany, Sherry, Gwen, Michelle, Stan, Luann, and Carol. Be with all who mourn, including the family and friends of Danny. Grant courage and steadfastness to those who suffer for your name's sake, especially to our brothers and sisters in Christ in India,
that they may receive and accept their afflictions in the confidence that you will acknowledge them as your own. Lord, in your mercy. Although we have deserved your righteous wrath and punishment, yet we ask you, O most merciful Father, not to remember the sins of our youth nor our many transgressions. Out of your unspeakable goodness and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger to body and soul. Lord, in your mercy. Preserve us from false doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of your mercy, and from an evil death. In every time of trouble, show yourself a very present help, the Savior of all, especially to those who believe. Cause all needed fruits of the earth to prosper that we may enjoy them in due season. Give success to the Christian training of the young, to all lawful occupations on land, sea, and air, and to all pure arts and useful knowledge, crowning them with your blessing. Receive, O God, our bodies and souls and all our talents, together with the offerings we bring you, for by his blood your Son has purchased us to be your own, that we may live under him in his kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. These and whatsoever other things you would have us ask of you, O God, grant us for the sake of Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right that we do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, for what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm for today is Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today you hear his voice. Do not harden your hearts, as in Meribah, as on the day of Massah, in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, "They are a people who go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Therefore I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest." Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. We thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift. And we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other. That through us, other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.